Hello there. Peabody here. And this is the Wayback Machine for traveling through time. And this is my boy, Sherman. Speak, Sherman.
Hello.
Good boy.
Live from the place where we're sitting in front of our computers hitting refresh, it's the Stacking Benjamin Show. Hey, Deal fans, I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug, and... I just missed the deal of a lifetime on a slightly used matching toupee and mustache set. Now what am I going to wear to the Stacking Benjamins holiday party? Hey, speaking of party, we have the queen of holiday parties herself. Help us welcome from catchmyparty.com, Jillian Tober-Leslie. Also, before open enrollment for Medicare ends, we'll talk to the author of Get What's Yours for Medicare, Philip Moeller. And as always, we'll throw out the Haven Lifeline to a caller, delight over my amazing trivia, and more. And because the only deal they're looking for is to see who's dealing the next hand of poker, here's Joe and O-J-J-J-J-G.
Royal Flush, man.
Doug has me confused with somebody that says, go fish.
You are the guy that says go fish, you mean?
Yeah, 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 sorry. Yeah, I'm not.
You've yourself confused with a poker player.
Yes.
Hey, everybody, I'm...
No idea how to play poker.
Joe Salci, I have show money on Twitter and across this beautiful card table on this Monday morning post-Thanksgiving weekend or post-weekend if you're listening outside the United States. It's the one and only other guy, as we call him OG.
Still a little bit of a turkey hangover. More pumpkin pie hangover for me, though.
Yeah, you got that top button of your pants unbuttoned.
Yeah, the key is to you take like one of those hair ties and you loop it around through the, and it gives you like an extra inch and a half. Or you get the Docker stretch pants.
They're not really
stretch pants, but they're like Dockers, but they got like a little give. That's what they call them, a little give.
For the big and tall guy?
No, just big.
Just big, right. Well, you know what you do, OG? A better thing to do, actually, is probably get a personal trainer. But where's the money for that going to come from? You know where? You get $100 if you use the link, stackingbenjamins.com/SoFi. That's S-O-F-I. When you head there to refinance your student loans, because they are the leader in marketplace lending. And where else are you going to refinance your student loans at a better rate? stackingbenjamins.com/SoFi. Also for personal loans, for mortgages, you don't get the $100, OG, for the mortgages, but you will get it for the personal loans or for the student loans. Love what SoFi is doing on the front, by the way, of working with lots of headlines lately of companies that are hiring people and as an incentive, helping them pay down their student loans. And SoFi has been big on that front, which is awesome. Also, another company where you can look up to see that I'm right about SoFi. They are listed right at the top, wherever they compete, at stackybenjamins.com/magnify money. You know, you comparison shop everything else in your life. Why not comparison shop those financial tools you use every day instead of just going into the bank and saying, what do you got? How about looking for the best checking account, the best savings account, and the best debt strategy for your situation? Head to stackybenjamins.com/magnify money. Great time to do that, by the way, OG, because that's another $450 in your pocket. So you take the interest that you get from refinancing your loans through SoFi, right? You take just anybody that shops at Magnify Money, and you take the $100 SoFi gives you and use our link. There you go. You're rolling in the dough.
Don't spend it all in one place unless it's sending it to us.
Somebody who's going to help us plan our holiday party here in the basement, Jillian Tober-Leslie, is here. And man, this woman has some phenomenal ideas. Have you ever been to catchmyparty.com?
I don't think so.
Oh, this place is, if you're ever planning a party, I don't know why you wouldn't go there first, because what happens is, and I'm sure she'll talk about this too, but people send in pictures of like the party that they're having. So it's just this picture after picture of these great ideas and then recipes and just great stuff. So Jillian's going to bring down a lot, but we've got some important headlines about Medicare and a new study out from Experian. So let's get moving.
Hello, darlings. And now, it's time for your favorite part of the show, our Stacking Benjamin's headlines.
Our first headline comes to us from the Huffington Post. Medicare phone scams increased during open enrollment period. December 7th, we have what? About 8 days, OG, until Medicare open enrollment ends. And during this period, according to this article written by Brian David Crane, the amount of Medicare scams and fraud targeting seniors increases significantly. Man, I hate seeing that, don't you?
Yeah, of course I do. Who doesn't? No, I love it seeing senior citizens being taken advantage of. I call that a doofus question.
Recently, there have been reports of Medicare phone scams across the country, particularly Nebraska. What do these guys think Nebraskans are going to fall for it? I don't know. Using caller ID spoofing and local Nebraska phone numbers, scammers are able to impersonate Medicare representatives and trick many victims into giving up valuable personal information. Caller states you lose coverage unless you join a specific prescription plan. Medicare Part D, which covers prescriptions, is optional. It doesn't affect your Part A and Part B coverage. Caller asks for your Medicare number in order to update your account. That's identity theft going on right there. Those are some ugly things. And you know what? The good news is on Dad Shortwave, OG, we've got the expert here, Philip Moeller. He wrote the book for Social Security, Get What's Yours for Medicare. Glad you could join us.
My pleasure.
People have only a few days left, roughly 8 days left, Phil, to apply. What are some of the big mistakes people make when they apply for Medicare?
Well, again, this 8 days is just for Medicare open enrollment. So these are people who already have Medicare. So looking at open enrollment, it's a great annual do-over thing. People need to take advantage of it, and they don't. They just sit with the coverage they have. They could save hundreds of dollars usually if they shopped for Medicare each year, particularly these days for their drug coverage, because drugs have become so expensive and those provisions change every year in the plan. So it makes sense to shop.
Where are people filing deals in the drug coverage? Where do they miss stuff?
They usually miss stuff by not paying attention to how insurance companies change how they cover a specific drug. So if you take drug X, whatever it may be, you may assume that it's going to be covered the same way next year as it was this year. And in fact, that may not be the case. People also miss saving sometimes by looking at the preferred pharmacy networks that most health plans have now. You can save a lot of money, especially through mail order drugs. So forget the convenience of walking your neighborhood pharmacy. If you want to save a lot of money, look at those networks and the health plans.
You say there's also money when looking at Medicare Advantage plans, that those aren't all built the same. Is that true?
That is true. You should compare all private insurance plans in Medicare, whether it's Medicare Advantage, Part D plans for drugs, or Medigap plans. But in the case of Medicare Advantage plans, key thing to look at here is whether or not the plan's healthcare provider network works for you, because most of those plans limit your access to care through the doctors and hospitals that participate in their networks. If you like these docs and hospitals, great. But if not, you should be leery of a specific plan. Either look for another Medicare Advantage plan, or you may want to stick with basic Medicare supplemented with a Medigap plan that lets you use any doctor that participates in Medicare.
How often do you find that people are surprised that Medicare doesn't cover long-term care?
Whenever they think about it. It's one of the big things that people mistakenly assume that Medicare will cover. It does not cover custodial long-term care. It also doesn't cover vision, hearing, or dental care in most cases, which is a big problem for older Americans. So when you think about Medicare and open enrollment, you should think about what's covered and what's not, and protect yourself and do some homework.
The book is Get What's Yours for Medicare, Maximize Your Coverage, Minimize Your Cost. Available everywhere, Philip, correct?
That's right.
Because
we do have a website, getwhatsyours.org.
Getwhatsyours.org, and we will link to that on the show notes. And I know that we just barely touched on it. There's so much to know. Thanks for hanging out.
My pleasure. Take care.
Our second headline comes to us from Experian. This is a new study by them, OG, showing that holiday spending has many consumers saying, bah, humbug. And another thing is that a lot of shoppers also are risking debt by not budgeting property for the holiday season, which is ugly. This survey says, 'tis the season to be jolly, but it's not so jolly for many consumers, as the holidays can cause financial stress and often put consumers in debt. According to Experian, the primary reason is that most consumers don't create budgets and are unprepared to cover added expenses beyond gifts, such as postage costs, hostess gifts, gift wrapping supplies, and greeting cards. the most unexpected holiday expenses. Number one, of course, is unexpected gifts. And it seems like every year I get caught off guard because there's all these gifts that I didn't think were coming. Like I always forget gifts to the teacher.
We started this a couple of years ago where we actually sit down. We've already done it. We actually make a list of here's all the people that we have to give stuff to. That sounds bad. We don't have to give it to anybody. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But that we've chosen to, you know, whatever. But there's, you know, like I want to give a little something to the UPS guy. He's here all the time. He always runs up my stairs. I got big stairs in the front of my house. You know, he's always running, you know, a bottle of, you know, mom's jam. He really appreciates that sort of stuff. But if you don't think about it in advance, you get, like you said, caught off guard where it's the last day of school and you go, oh, shoot, I didn't get anything for the teachers. And then it's not in the budget either.
And isn't that the way the budget always gets busted, by the way? It's not the big things. It's that the big thing happens and you don't have a budget around the little things, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Baking and cooking supplies is number two. Gift wrapping supplies, number three. Greeting cards, number four. Mailing costs, number five. Of course, you know, you get the gift. You don't think about the fact that it's a big gift and mailing that big gift. Now that I have relatives all over the country, since we moved to Texas, holy cow. I know mailing costs. I was mailing something to my brother one time, and I remember it was like $12 just to mail this thing. It's like, wow, I could have just...
Good thing Amazon will do that for you.
That's like...
We can't buy it on Amazon. You ain't getting it.
The top five most frustrating expenses, speaking of Amazon, number one are unexpected gifts. Number two is online order delivery costs. I think that Amazon has this train now for a lot of us that have Prime because we live in the middle of nowhere. Like when I have to pay a shipping fee, I'm like, really? Shipping fee? What's that all about?
Pass.
Yeah.
Guess I don't need it that bad.
Mailing costs for sending gifts, baking, cooking supplies, travel costs. We don't think about that. I just traveled across the country, did our annual road trip for the Thanksgiving holiday. And, you know, you don't think about all the money that you spend while you're out on the road. Yeah. They have their five tips for holiday budgeting. Number one, what you said, OG, make a gift list. Check that out. You were number one in the Experian thing. And you haven't even seen this. I always hoard the notes. Number two, start early. By avoiding the Christmas Eve shopping rush, you'll find better deals. Number three, budget for unexpected expenses. I think this is where the emergency fund comes in.
If you don't have money set aside before the holidays and now you run into some troubles, where is that going to go? You're going to be paying for holidays on your credit card until June.
Do you work with a lot of families that do the old, you know, Christmas club holiday expense account where they save a little bit every month toward the holidays?
I see it every so often. Not a ton anymore, but yeah. Some. I kind of do that. I have this afternoon activity that I do in the fall, right? My after school project that takes a few days and I get paid for it, a couple of bucks. That's what we do. I just accumulate all that. That's our shopping money and travel money. And that's what Mrs. OG gets to spend.
Nice. Because you don't
all
spend it.
$11.
Because you don't
actually don't spend a penny of it.
Really?
I don't. I absolutely do not. Nope.
Wow. How about that?
Yeah.
Something I like, I worked with a family. I remember it was my second year as a financial planner. And we got together just before the holidays and they had a bunch of debt. They had no money and they decided that it was going to be a year of no gifts and they had young kids. And so what was interesting was they just got together with everybody and told them what the deal was. And I think for the kids, they might have had, you know, two or three things, but not the usual thing. They said that they usually went over and above right. on holidays. So they set a really strict limit for the kids, told the rest of the relatives nothing. And they came back after the holidays having expected it to be the worst time ever. And you already know the end of the story. They said they had a phenomenal holiday season. It was about spending time together, about, you know, what we had Tom Vassell and Paul Vassey on Friday talking about playing games. It was about playing games, doing things together. They looked at their community for things to do, just had a blast really thinking about the season and not about, you know, spending their time in a mall. Last two on this list, keep track of spending, of course, and then be careful with credit because as we talked about in our special Chase Late episode, credit can get you into trouble. Ken, if you don't have a budget this time of year, the stores do, and you're part of their budget. So you should watch out. I think that that's probably lesson number one. We'll call that lesson number one. Lesson number two, what Phil Moeller said, you've got about 8 days left for Medicare. And if you're eligible, don't just leave things on autopilot just because it's open enrollment and you're fine with what you have. Use this as the opportunity to go look around for maybe some better options when it comes to your Medicare choices. Jillian Tober Leslie and her husband have an interesting backstory. OG, he was working for a company online. She was a screenwriter in Hollywood, and they decided, you know what? They had this, there was this entertainment site that they kind of liked that went out of business. And they thought, well, as a side project, this might be something we could do together. And that site ended up becoming the biggest party planning site on the internet, catchmyparty.com.
Just a little side hustle.
Just a little side hustle. And I'm sure you're going to be able to see why, because Jillian Tober Leslie is just passionate about how great the party is. And I'm so happy. Mom made her special brownies just for Jillian.
Don't tell Doug.
yeah. Hide those babies until Jillian leaves. But coming down the basement, let's welcome Jillian Tober Leslie from catchmyparty.com. And Jillian Tober Leslie joins us in the basement. Welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Well, I'm so happy you could be here because the party starts the second you get here. Does everybody tell you that wherever you go?
Sometimes people will get a little nervous if I come to their party because they think that I am judging them.
I bet they do. Does that make it difficult?
It does, because it's the last thing I'm doing. Like, I really do separate my life between work and, you know, my personal life. And so I'm like wearing a totally different hat, but they'll say, oh no, like, what do you think? How did I do?
It's like they feel like they're talking to Martha Stewart.
Yes. And I'm so far from Martha Stewart. So that is the one thing where I say, no, don't, please don't worry. Like, I'm here for the company. I don't care. And there's something refreshing about just being with a group of just real people hanging out.
Well, and it's funny because I think a good party must be about cultivating that, right? Not about being over the top, but kind of, I don't know, greasing the wheels to just make everything flow and feel a little more fun for everyone.
I completely agree. And I think that word fun is what sometimes can be missing at parties when the hostess or host is trying too hard. And believe me, I have fallen for that, you know, where I'm so worried about the details that I can lose sight of the actual party. And then I have to go, oh, no, this isn't what this is about. You know, this is about the experience.
Well, you know, Jillian, nobody listens to this show. So yeah, I'm sure even though you said you don't judge people, you still have to have a story about a horrible party that just went wrong and it didn't have to be bad. Tell us a story about some party that was just a nightmare.
I am just thinking of many. what I would say is, for the most part, usually there's some major fail. Okay, I would say at most parties I throw, there is at least one fail. Some of them are big, some of them are small. One time I had a dinner party and I made this chicken dish, this big chicken dish, and I thought it was so beautiful. And the chicken ended up being raw. Oh, and I served it. I didn't know, because I was, again, kind of distracted in my hostess sort of way. People kind of didn't really eat it. And it took me a while to figure out what was going on. And then I figured out that I was serving raw chicken. And again, like, here's what I would say. The best advice is to just go with it and to laugh at yourself and to, like, move on. And so what I ended up doing was I ended up ordering pizza. And just by doing that and kind of acknowledging that, you know, wow, did I mess up? It changed the vibe at the party. The party became more fun, and we're waiting for the pizza guy to deliver the pizza. I brought out food that I probably would not have served at the party because people were getting hungry. And I'm like, well, I've got some chips and I've got some, you know, what else do I have? And I have to say that was a really, really good learning experience, because again, it's not about being perfect. It's about being present.
That's funny you say that, because people really, what I'm hearing is people cue off you. If you make it a big deal that the chicken was raw and people are going to get sick, then they're going to be all nervous and tight. But when you laugh it off and shrug it off, then everyone thinks of it as the party where the chicken went wrong, but the party was awesome.
It becomes a good story.
Right.
And I think that there is some, like, just one quick other one. my daughter turned 4 and I threw her. So we had started Catch My Party. I called in all these favors. I wanted to throw her that amazing party. And I had a photographer and I had blogger friends who came to the party and it was going to be just terrific. And what happened was my daughter had never gotten presents at a birthday before because I'd always said, don't bring a gift. She doesn't, you know, she doesn't really know. We don't need more stuff. But by 4, she had wisened up. She'd gone to other parties. She saw that kids got gifts. So I felt like I couldn't say that anymore. So people brought gifts to the party. And my daughter flipped out. She became obsessed with the gifts, which, by the way, is not bringing out like the best in my daughter. Right. So my daughter would not leave the gifts. So I hired an entertainer. I have a photographer. And my daughter started crying when I was trying to get her away from the gifts. So my daughter looks like this gift-obsessed person, kid. And I want to explain, like, she's never had gifts before. And it just, and again, it's that idea of like, I had this so orchestrated and choreographed in my mind of how the party was going to go. There's always that moment where I'm freaking out inside, but then I start to go, oh, okay, like breathe, be present, see what you can do, you know, just kind of be in it rather than kind of floating on top, trying to control it.
Yeah. You're walking around saying, no, we are very much all about objects and baubles and give us a lot of gifts here. Like my daughter learned all this from me. I bet. Well, our main goal here is to survive the holidays. And when anybody goes to your site, Catch My Party, what you see are all these marvelous ideas that people have for parties. How do we throw a holiday party and not go bankrupt?
I have a couple ideas. One, throw a holiday party between meals. So you don't have to then serve a big lunch or a big dinner. Oh. Host your party at about 3:00, like do an open house, do something again, more casual so that, you know, people don't expect to sit down and eat a big chicken dinner.
Yeah.
So that is one way that I would recommend being able to save on food costs. And the other thing that I would do is instead of having like a big bar where you're serving cocktails, I would buy some beer, maybe some wine, and then I would make one signature cocktail. Go on Pinterest, go on our site, find a cool cocktail and serve that. So you don't have to worry about lots of alcohol.
What a great idea. I'm thinking of a tailgate that I went to recently where the hostess of the tailgate, everything else seemed normal. I mean, it seemed like a nice, fun tailgate, but she made this. So my daughter goes to the University of Arkansas. So she made this red and white cocktail that she called a hoggarita. And all it was a margarita where part of it was red with a splash of white, or it was white with a splash of red. And it was very simple to make, but it just made the party, Jilly. And it was this little over-the-top thing that was crazy and yet didn't take the hostess much time.
Exactly. And it probably didn't even cost that much. And it's those details, you know, that's what I say, which is you don't have to do everything from scratch. You don't have to make everything homemade. Pick one or two details and just do something fun with them. Whether it be a homemade decoration, whether it be a homemade food. So that's something I always recommend, something that people will talk about.
Yeah, well, speaking of talk about, you have all these crazy themes on your site that I just love how some people have, you know, lumberjack, Minnesota first birthday, elf holiday movie night for Christmas. What are some cool themes that people might have around the holidays? Or do you skip the theme and just keep it simple?
Well, that depends on what you want to do. In terms of what are very popular themes right now, kind of hot, trendy themes, lumberjack parties. It's amazing you saw that. For whatever reason, everybody wants to grow a beard and become a lumberjack. Right. It's true. So that has been a really popular theme that we've been seeing over the last maybe kind of 2 Christmases. Another one that's like not, you don't have to go as, and that's, you know, lots of plaid, doing some kind of rustic cookies. You don't have to go overboard. I've even seen, though, people make cakes that look like tree stumps, you know, or like lumberjacks. But here's an idea. Again, as you're thinking about what would be a less expensive holiday party that feels like it's pulled together. And I would say create a hot cocoa bar. So people love to make their own food with their own fixins. So what you do is you put hot cocoa out, then you've got all these fixins. And so you can add some alcohol that people can put in their hot cocoa, but for the kids, you could have M&Ms and whipped cream and nuts, and just so that people can personalize their hot cocoa. And it's amazing how popular and how, again, it adds that touch of fun.
I've never seen that before, and that would be so fun. I'm thinking about weddings that I've gone to, and now it seems like every wedding does this, where, you know, just before midnight or 11:30, they come out with the hot dog bar, right?
Yes.
And now that's kind of become cliche, but there was a time early on when I thought, wow. And of course, hot cocoa bar, just that's so cool. Speaking of food, let's say that you did decide to have a meal. Is a potluck a bad thing? Like, is that a no-no to ask people to bring a dish to pass?
Oh, not at all. Not at all. And again, if you think about what it says, is we're all a group of friends. We're coming together to eat together and share each other's food. So really what I like to do before throwing a party is to think about what, I don't know if this sounds exactly right, but like what vibe, what message do I want to convey? So for example, the party with the raw chicken, I kind of wanted it to be like kind of fancy. And it's funny because I ended up slipping on the karmic banana peel, and then it became more real. And so that was such a good lesson for me. But in this way, to think about, like, if you're going to host a potluck, instead of coming at it with this idea of like, I don't want to buy all this food, it's a lot of prep time, it's a lot of money, to think about it in terms of, I'm going to invite this group of friends, and together we're going to provide food and feed each other. And that's such a nice way to think about it. And then the other thing that you can do is even come up with a theme. If you're doing a potluck, for example, you need to make something that is like a family recipe. So you bring your favorite family recipe or from your own heritage. So if you're French, you bring something French. If you're Italian, you bring something Italian. If you're Mexican, you know, that kind of thing. So it pulls people together. And what it does is it creates conversation starters, a way to break the ice. Like, you know, you've gone to parties and you don't really know anybody. It's really awkward. And then you're like, hey, I'm Jillian. Like, and you have no idea where to connect with somebody.
Right.
What's great about doing something like a potluck or doing something even like a hot cocoa bar where people can make their own hot cocoa is you get to talk about it. Hey, what'd you put in your hot cocoa? Or what dish did you bring? Or, oh my God, why is this a family recipe? Or so it's a way to build bridges.
I love that idea of building bridges because especially like if it's a neighborhood party or where people are from different backgrounds, you're celebrating togetherness and diversity at the same time, which totally. I think is just absolutely fantastic. What about entertainment at the party? I mean, do I just want that to be loose and kind of go organically, or there's some things I can do to kind of, you know, like your hot cocoa bar?
If you're hosting a holiday party, the easiest thing I recommend is putting together a playlist of holiday music. And putting lots of fun holiday music mixed with oldies so that, again, people can talk about it and they can go, oh my God, I love this song or whatever. In terms of, I would recommend probably not doing a lot when it comes to entertainment, except I might, if you're going to have kids at the party and grownups at the party, I might put together a really inexpensive crafting table for kids, whether it be you print out some coloring sheets and put out some crayons or markers, things like that, or you do some like easy craft that kids can do on their own. I think that's a really nice way to give grownups a little bit of time alone to talk to other grownups and a way for kids not to be bored.
How many parties have you been to where the parents clearly want to stay, but the kids are blowing up? And so everybody's got to leave early because the whole family's not in sync. But it's too bad, Jillian, you don't have any ideas.
for parties?
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like we could have a 90-minute segment about this and it still wouldn't be long enough. But let's talk about the opposite. If the shoe's on the other foot and I'm invited to a party, are there some things etiquette-wise that I should remember? Because this is a time when, you know, I think I'm invited to three different holiday parties.
Wow. The first thing I would do is bring a hostess gift. And then people get kind of freaked out about that. Like, oh, I don't want to spend a lot of money. The gifts that I give the most are home-baked foods. Every Christmas, what I do is I bake biscotti. And I wrap them in little cellophane bags.
I want to be your friend, by the way.
I give them to my neighbors, but I also make extra for things like holiday parties. And especially kind of last minute stuff where, you know, the last thing I want to do is go out and try and figure out what could I get. Like, everybody likes food. Everybody likes something sweet over the holidays. So, in fact, that's just one of my all-time tips is when people throw like a party and they want to give party favors out at the end, I always say make it something edible, make it something homemade, because it leaves your guests with like a sweet taste in their mouth.
And they associate that with you and your
sweet.
And
the party and the experience. Yes. It's just, and it's something they'll probably eat versus you get, you know, party favors and you're like, I don't know what to do with this.
Right. I'm thinking too, that one of the biggest issues for me around the holidays is time. And if I'm making biscotti already, making a few more for those things that you're not going to think about until the last minute and go, oh no, it saves you so much time because you just reach for it and there it is.
Totally. And it's like things like your kid's teacher or the aide right. that you hadn't thought, you know, the teacher's aide or right. or the piano teacher or things like that where you're like, oh, wait, I've got something. And there's such a, again, it's such a sweet touch.
Mailman. I always forget our mailman.
The mailman.
Jillian.
Yes.
I forget JJ every year. And JJ, I love you, but I forget you every year. And I feel horrible about that.
Yes. And it's funny because, yes, you know, gift cards are great, but it's really, it is the thought that counts. I do believe that. Oh, one other tip for going to a party. It's this weird thing. We don't RSVP anymore. And I don't understand it. I think it's because everybody's kind of waiting to see like what their schedule's going to look like or whether some better opportunity comes along. But if you get invited to a party, do RSVP.
We had that problem with a neighborhood party we threw 2 years ago where half the neighborhood didn't RSVP.
Did they come?
I would say we probably had 8 families that we didn't expect. So 16 people that we didn't know were coming that showed up.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
It's super weird. I don't know why it is. And I talk to people all the time and they say nobody RSVPs. And then the only thing is, then the host doesn't know what to plan for.
Well, a lot of our audience, I'm sure, knows about catchmyparty.com, about your awesome website, but there's got to be a few people out there that don't. And there is all kinds of this, the stuff that you're talking about right now, Jillian, that's all over your site. So tell us what people can get when they come to Catch My Party.
Oh, wow. So Catch My Party is the largest party ideas site on the web. Our site is filled with what's called user-generated content. And what that means is people from, gosh, predominantly the US, but all around the world will upload photos of their parties to our site. Most of our content, we have a lot of kids' parties. We have a lot of baby showers and bridal showers, but we have a ton of holiday parties. So if you're thinking of throwing a Christmas party or a New Year's party or Valentine's Day party, come to our site. And our one thing that we pride ourselves on is our search. So you can just search for topics that are interesting to you. Or let's say you're thinking, I want to know if you have this very specific theme, let's say. Chances are we do, as we have something like 50,000 parties added to our site. So search for it. But also we on our blog share recipes, especially around the holidays, share DIYs, do-it-yourself crafts, party crafts. And we share free printables, which is like awesome. What they are, they're digital files. And you can just, we give them away for free. You download them. You cut them out and they're decorations for your party. And we have them in over 200 themes.
That is, it's so cool. I'm looking at that right now. And I love, because this is front and center as we're recording this, this Dr. Seuss birthday party somebody threw. How obscenely awesome is that?
I know. It's crazy. It's so, it's a way for people to express their creativity and to love their families.
It's so exciting. I would have loved to have gone to that party. That's so awesome. One fish, two fish, and I'm a blue fish. if I don't go to that party, I don't know. I can't finish that rhyme. We'll just say this briefly too. You guys do a lot of work on Pinterest. And if there's people listening that have a business that uses Pinterest, you guys have come up with a tool for those people too. Talk about that for just a second.
So again, just what you said, Pinterest is a really big traffic driver for us. So we built a pop-up tool for Catch My Party to ask people who come to our site to follow us on Pinterest. And it worked so well that what we did was we spun our little pop-up tool out as a separate business. And if you're a blogger or a small business owner or a big business owner, you can install this on your site, but it not only will grow your Pinterest following, it can grow your Instagram following, it can grow your Facebook following, and it can grow your email list. And we call it a smart pop-up because you program in it what you want it to show your visitors.
And then the visitors are happier and so are you.
Exactly. So that's called Milo Tree. So it's MiloTree.com. And this is the best part. We give it away for free.
Awesome. And you know what, Jillian, I'll link to that for people walking the dog or out on the morning run or they're driving to work at our show notes at stackybenjamins.com, both Milo Tree and of course, Catch My Party. Thanks for helping us have a much better holiday season. I really appreciate it.
Yes. Happy holidays.
Thank you. You too.
Hey everyone, I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug, and what a wild day for internet shopping it's been. While lots of people head to Amazon.com or Target.com, I'm all about this crazy new site called ClassyManGifts.com. It turns out I can score a great deal on this Russian stuff called Manscent. Sure, it was first made in 1972, but that makes it a collector's item, right? Or how about this copy of Rolling Stone, High Tides, and Green Grass that only skips a little on the third track? These are bargains. Let's go to the trivia so I can bid on all this stuff, shall we? Riddle me this. Who does more shopping on Cyber Monday, men or women? I'll be back with the answer and, I'm sure, a whole load of deals after this.
Hey, Stackers, know what I love? I love saving money on things that aren't important. I'm not one of these people that wants to live in a cabin in the woods. Don't get me wrong, that's your goal, that's fine, but that's not something that I'm looking for. I'm looking to spend money on experiences that are fun and not spend money on stuff that I don't care about. You know one thing I don't care about? I'm not attached to my bank. So why do people stick with the same bank forever when banking has completely changed? Head to stackingbenjamins.com/magnify money and you'll find out how much. You'll find out how badly your checking accounts performed. You'll find out how horrible that savings account you have is. You'll also find out that the debt products you're using are a big fat waste of time. So if you're going to consolidate your loans, why not do it the best way possible? If you're going to bank with anybody, why not make them the best possible? StackingBenjamins.com/magnify money. And if you pay your bills on time and you want to unbank, I love the hashtag don't bank. SoFi is not only best in class there, but guess what else they're doing? They're offering you $100 over a short amount of time. Not sure when this deal's going to end, but they're offering $100 if you use our link, stackingbenjamins.com/SoFi. That's S-O-F-I. Whether it's for your mortgage, for your student loans, or personal loans, if you're refinancing and looking for a super low rate and you're somebody with a great history of paying your bills on time, you know who you are, stackingbenjamins.com/SOFI. Don't have to earn a lot of money, but you have to be somebody that's responsible with the money that you do have.
Hey everyone, it's Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug. And bad news, someone keeps outbidding me on everything. I was fairly certain the Rolling Stones vintage Barely Skipping album was mine, and then it's gone. Just gone. The same thing happened with the cologne. But listen, I told you, this ClassyManGift.com site was hot. The bad news? It's super hot. I can't get anything. But there is some good news. I'm going to give you today's trivia for free. Here was the question. Who does more shopping on Cyber Monday, men or women? The answer? Of all the shoppers scoring Cyber Monday deals today, women make up 59% of the entire Cyber Monday shopping crowd. Get it right? If so, can you help me track down who just outbid me on this man-scent cologne? I can't win anything. See ya.
Well, you had a 50-50 shot.
Yeah, I thought that the obvious answer was women, but then, I don't know. I thought you were trying to trick me, so I went with men. And
why'd you think women were the obvious answer?
Exactly the same reason why you're trying to trap me right now. Which is the exact reason why I picked men.
Which is the reason why you're hoping we stop talking about this really quick.
Also that.
How about this, man? I'll save you. Let's throw out the Haven Lifeline to a listener. Sound good?
Oh, okay. Yeah, not to me, though. I got it.
Yeah. We're throwing it out to you, too. I guess we're throwing out two of them. And we'll tackle some of life's, or rather life insurance's, most important questions, because our friends at Haven Life Insurance Agency, they're disrupting the life insurance industry by focusing on those things you value most, your family and your time. And really, OG, this last week, I think we got that through everybody's head, right? I mean, every time there's a holiday, I'm like, I wish I got to spend more time with my family. I'm sure there are some people out there going, why do I have to spend so much time with my family? But that's why they've created the only affordable term life insurance policy you can purchase entirely online, and qualified healthy applicants can even skip the medical exam. Still not sure how that works after talking to Jerome about that, but it works. Head to stackingbenjamins.com/Haven Life now to learn more about life insurance the modern way. And today we throw out the lifeline to our friend Mark. Say hello, Mark.
Hi, this is OG. I mean, any mouse. Actually, it's just Mark. I have a tax question about charitable contributions and the standard deduction for you guys. I don't own a house, so in a normal year, I would just take the $6,300 standard deduction. If I were thinking about making $10,000 in charitable contributions this year, I'm wondering if it would be wise to wait until next year and combine it to maximize my overall benefit. Basically, if I'm thinking about this right, I would get a better cumulative tax break if I combined these two contributions into 1 year, since the first $6,300 is basically redundant with the standard deduction. I'm waiting for my accountant to get me an official answer, but since there's no line, I figured you all might have some thoughts as well. Thanks so much. Love the show.
Thank you, Mark, for the question. And we'll tell everybody ahead of time, although we have played accountants on TV, we are not accountants. And Mark's doing the right thing by consulting his tax advisor. However, I'm sure we have an opinion.
You always have an opinion about something, don't you?
Especially things I'm not qualified to have an opinion about. Especially, right?
Yes. Seems like everybody's got an opinion about something lately.
I haven't noticed. My Facebook has been all unicorns and rainbows, hasn't yours?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, half of it has been.
That's right.
Half has been unicorns and rainbows. The other half has been, you know.
Too many unicorns and rainbows. Knock it off.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right. So what do you think about Mark's situation? Make his two $10,000 gifts in 1 year to be able to itemize?
Yeah. This is something that is, from a financial planning standpoint, kind of financial planning 201 stuff, right? Where you start layering on different tax strategies on top of future things that you're thinking about. And this is a great example of it. I'm thinking about making a contribution at the end of December. I usually make another contribution in April. Should I not put them together in February and have one big tax deduction for the year? Absolutely, you should. But I'll take it another step further in that look at what that benefit provides you in terms of extra tax reduction in your overall tax life, and think about the impact that that could have on other things that you might want to do. For example, this just happened about 3 years ago, exact same scenario. Client wanted to make a large charitable contribution and said, oh, hey, before I write this check to the charity, I thought I'd run it by you. This is going to be a big number. I said, well, can it wait until January? Because that'll give us a whole year to use it, as opposed to it's December 15th and we've got 15 days to use it, basically. He said, yeah, we can do it in January. What we decided to do was calculate the tax benefit of that extra contribution and used that to offset a traditional IRA conversion to a Roth. So it ended up being kind of net tax-free overall to the equation. So he didn't have a year where all of a sudden he got a big tax refund, but rather we used that tax difference that year to further his financial plan. We were going to, we want to do the Roth conversions anyway. So this worked out because we ended up doing it for free. So I would say what you're thinking about is great. Add another step to it and say, now let's calculate what the benefit is and spend that benefit, not just in cash, but use it for compounding returns like a conversion or something like that.
Yeah, we're kind of headed the same way because my initial thought was too, was if he's going to do that, the accountant gives him the green light. I would walk through that itemized deductions page and see if there's anything else on there Mark might qualify for. Because if he doesn't take the itemized deductions page, he might not even be familiar with the fact that, you know, because it never added up to his standard deduction that he was talking about on the show. He just ignored it all. So, you know, don't just look at that. Look for other opportunities, too, that he can pile up.
Yeah, what else might be in there in terms of, you know, taxes or medical stuff or whatever. Sure.
Right, right. Amen. Hey, if you've got a question for the Haven Lifeline, you'd like us to throw you a lifeline like we just did for Mark. I'm not sure if, well, luckily Mark has a real lifeline with his accountant there too. So that's good.
Yes.
Send those to stackybenjamins.com/voicemail. If you're looking at your 201 financial planning situation and you want financial planning help, OG is available and taking clients. And for that, here's what you do to schedule an appointment to get on his calendar. It's stackingbenjamins.com/OG. People also write to the show. We've been telling people lately that the better way to get on is definitely what Mark just did, which is to call the Haven Lifeline because there's not as long a wait. The good news is we have filled up December in the course of just a couple days doing that. So I'm going to feel bad here again, OG, that we just filled up the Haven Lifeline, but it's still shorter line there than it is for
letters.
Yeah, for letters. Sorry, I got distracted because I've got too
many.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I always have 67 tabs open. Well, I mean,
I have noticed that.
Yeah. You see me over here, like on my computer going, okay, where is it? But I was looking for the letter and Doug just brought down the mail. It's amazing. If Doug brings down the mail, why am I looking at my laptop? I have no idea. But Matt writes to us.
Spiraling out of control.
Matt, you could tell we had a long weekend. Matt writes to us and says, I'm looking for opinions only, no facts. We're great for opinions, Matt, just like we just said.
Just said, yep.
Yeah, we can't give you any facts. Matt asked this, I wonder whether you believe the financial advising industry suffers from a public relations problem due to advisors often being tightly coupled with products like insurance or annuities. I'm sure many of us manage all of our own money simply because we feel like going to an advisor is just like going to a used car lot. In the end, we're being sold inferior products at high prices and we're too slow to catch on. I know this may not be completely accurate and that fee-only advisors exist, but I don't think it's a good sign when legislation is written saying that certain types of advisors must put their clients' interests first, and then there's a humongous backlash. Is it unfair to view the entire industry as salesmen rather than advisors? Do people on the inside even care that they're viewed so skeptically? And should I interview them until I find a good one? Or is self-education alone a reasonable route for a while? Thanks, guys. Thanks for the question, Matt. And we definitely have opinions about this topic.
Sure. I'd like to hear yours.
Yeah, mine is that definitely the financial advising industry does have a perception problem. However, I think it's, and in some ways, I think it's well-deserved. I love what Matt said. The huge backlash against the fiduciary rule kind of is funny, especially when you dig a little bit into, and I'm not going to go into this too much, but who's complaining? And when you kind of think about why they're really complaining, right? Not why they say they're complaining, but why I think, anyway, they're really complaining. So I'm a little salty about that. However, I think that Matt's point about education versus advisor is the wrong thing. I believe something that Susie Orman said in her first book, I believe one thing she said in her first book. No, I'm kidding. There's at least two.
There's at least two.
Actually, I can think of three just off the top of my head. So Susie's first book is pretty good. But Susie said, she said, nobody cares about your money as much as you will. And then she goes off the deep end and says, so you shouldn't have an advisor. And I think that's Susie selling books. That's my personal opinion. And I'm not a financial advisor. The reason for that is even when I was a financial advisor, I thought, yes, nobody cares about your money as much as you do. So you should always be educated. You should understand how things work. Nobody is going to take the responsibility for your goals off of your hands. They're your goals. Like, I wouldn't ask a personal trainer to do all my exercises for me, right? I wouldn't ask a dietitian to start eating better so that I get the benefits. I need them to educate me and to take me through the proper things to do so that I actually reach the intended result. So I don't think those two things, Matt, are mutually exclusive at all. I think education is one, and then having an advisor is the second thing. And this is where I think Susie goes off the deep end. She goes off it because of the fact that I worked with people in the real world. I worked with people that were presidents of companies, vice presidents of companies. I had a client that I've talked about before who negotiated for one of the car manufacturers with the IRS. Another guy who ran the minivan platform at one of the big three. Big people at Microsoft, not physically big like we were talking about earlier in the show, but people that knew technology a lot.
Maybe his name rhymed with Schmil Schmates.
Maybe not.
Oh, not him.
Maybe okay. Not. And if Mil Schmates.
Schmil Schmaumer?
If Mil Schmates wanted to get back into the game, I might be open to getting my licenses back. I might be okay with that.
Okay with one client?
Yeah. Does that make me a bad person? Because I could be sold for that amount of money.
Bought. You could be bought. For that yeah, kind of money.
I could be bought. But
you definitely would be okay with being sold for that kind of money.
But the thing that I knew about all of these people, they were smart people, OG, who could have done this on their own. But like anything, they needed somebody. Why would those people hire a financial advisor when, especially the person that negotiated with the IRS, like she knew everything about finance. She knew everything and she hired me. Why did that happen? Because she's super busy and she's somebody who can take her through her personal stuff very quickly so that that can be as organized as her work life is. She can focus on bringing great money in and then have it organized the exact way she would, but with a fraction of the time, and she needed somebody to get stuff done. That's what a good coach does. So perception problem, yes, but does that mean that you shouldn't hire a great advisor to be on your team, no matter what the thing is, whether it's diet, exercise, finance, whatever it might be? You should always have great coaches around you.
I agree with about 80% of what you said there. Maybe a little bit more. Perception problem for sure. There was just an article I read today. It was in LinkedIn, and it was written by a financial advisor recruiter. So this would be somebody who would contact, you know, an advisor and say, hey, you're at Merrill Lynch. Why don't you move over to Morgan Stanley? You know, they'll give you a big bonus to come over and that sort of thing. So that's what his job is. And the article is pretty interesting about how the government regulations and the regulatory bodies that supervise financial advisors make very public their disdain for financial advisors. And certainly there's certain senators who do this, you know, who kind of lump everybody together, who say all financial professionals are crooks, all bankers are crooks, all, you know, all that sort of stuff. His point was you can't continue to parade people down the street, which effectively is what they do, for minor things. Like he was specifically talking about financial issues with a financial advisor. So in our business, if you have some financial problems, right, if you know, run into credit card debt, or if you have a bankruptcy or a house foreclosure, you know, things that happen to normal people on occasion for no, you know, I want to say no fault of their own, but, you know, stuff happens, right? You get a divorce or you have a medical illness or something like that, or a medical problem that causes lots of financial issues. In our business, that is a complete destruction of your life, right? So not only did you just go through a divorce and you lose your house, but now you also lost your career because that is, you know, you're like a black sheep now when it comes to the industry. And so his point was, maybe they ought to take their foot off the gas a little bit on some of those things. You know, money launderers, people that steal from clients, we should string them up on every street corner. But the rest of those things, maybe we don't want to. So I agree that there's a perception problem. But I also think that, you know, one bad apple doesn't spoil the entire bunch. You see the five guys that are bad in your city, but there's 2,500 people that really care. And so you've been to conferences and I've been to conferences, and I would say that the vast majority of people that you and I know that are financial professionals really do care about the outcomes for their clients. And, you know, we chose this business because we wanted to help people. It happens that we provide nicely for our families, right? We have the opportunity to make income, work from home, I do, and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, you know, it's more about making sure people reach their goals. As it relates to...
Well, I think just to stop you there, that just comes... Yeah. That piece you just said comes down to the Zig Ziglar thing, and it's not financial advisors. It's if you spend your time helping other people get what they want, you always get what you want.
Yeah. Yeah. No, for sure. Absolutely. And then on the other side of it, should I just educate myself? I'm going to take a little more hardline approach to this than you, which is, I think you have to have a cocktail answer, a cocktail party answer, maybe is a better way to say that. So why do I do what I do in my investment plan? You should be able to answer that in like 35 seconds. Or what are you working on with your money right now? You should answer that in 35 seconds. Because anything more than that, and this is where it kind of layers onto what...
You mean a cocktail napkin answer.
I'm talking about like if you're at a cocktail party and somebody says, hey, Joe, what are you invested in right now? And you say, oh, well, my advisor's got me kind of diversified in this way, and this is why we do that. That's the answer, not like the you know, getting
down. Yeah, I'm thinking of... Okay, I get you. I was thinking the wealthy barber. You know, he's got that thing that if you can't write your financial plan on a cocktail napkin, your plan's too complicated. But anyway, same thing.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. So I don't know that you take the responsibility for the education, because it's not fair to do. You don't go to the doctor, you don't go, you know, to use your personal trainer example, your dietitian example. Yeah, you go there and you say, hey, I want to be fit or I want to eat better. When the dietitian says to you, okay, I want you to focus on healthy proteins and cut out all the carbs, and you go, okay, why? Well, carbs are bad for you. Okay, why? She doesn't, or he doesn't say, well, here's these 47 books of research that I studied when I was in graduate school. Why don't you read that and write the reports that I wrote and do all the research and interview all the people? The doctor doesn't say, I need you to take penicillin for your infection. You go, why? The doctor looks at you like you have three heads. Well, because I'm the doctor, and that's what gets rid of infections, penicillin. Why? You can ask that question a couple of times, but after a while, you're asking to become a doctor. So go be a doctor if you want to do that. So I believe in our business, our best clients are the people that you talked about, that know that they're smart enough to get it if they wanted to spend the time to get it.
Yeah.
But also know that but they have to provide value in other ways in their life for other people in their business, for their organization, for their family. And they want to outsource the heavy lifting of, you know, their financial plan, the heavy lifting of all of this sort of stuff.
You and I know that being great in any field means focusing on your core competency, your unique talent, right?
Yep.
If you're going to get ahead, you focus on that, you delegate the rest. Like, there have been so many studies that have shown that if you waste a bunch of time trying to be great at everything, you're going to be good at nothing, right?
Dan Sullivan, who runs Strategic Coach, which is a group that I'm a part of, is for entrepreneurs, says, if you focus on your weaknesses, which is kind of the mainstream theory, you end up with a whole bunch of mediocre weaknesses.
When you see organizations that are as big as Strategic Coach that talk about this, I mean, there's so much truth in that line. So I think you have to have great people around you that cover up the areas that you can't take the time to focus on.
Now, I would say that almost everybody could use a financial advisor. That's shocking. A little home cooking there, I understand. But there's a time and a place to go it alone, right? Yeah. You're just getting started. Right. You're getting out of debt. You know, you're just starting the 401k, that's fine. But there's going to be a point where a mistake is where you want a professional to help prevent you from making. You know, when you have $10,000 in a brokerage account and you decide to do something stupid with it and you lose $1,000, okay, not the end of the world. You've got $300,000 in a brokerage account, you do something stupid with it and you lose $30,000. That's like a year's net pay for a lot of people. That's some big money. So there comes a time where I think you look at it and say, what's the cost of a mistake here? And to Matt's point, there are people in his area, I guarantee it, and elsewhere, that are more than happy to be upfront, honest, education-based, on the same team with him, not put them in substandard products, not charge them commissions. You know, all those things that he mentioned, those people exist and who will hold his feet to the fire to help accomplish the things that he said that he wants to do.
Right. And if somebody isn't going to call you for whatever reason, I mean, there's, we have a relationship with Guidevine, StackyBenjamins.com/Guidevine. You go there and you can watch videos of different advisors. So you can kind of pre-interview them even before you interview them. There's networks of good advisors. The XY Planning Network is an example, which Katie Brewer is a member of, and a lot of the certified financial planners that we know of. So a lot of good people out there, like you said. Thanks for the question, Matt. If you've got a question for the mailbag, remember, it's much quicker to throw out the Haven Lifeline. StackyBenjamins.com/voicemail should be your first one. If you just don't want to call, but you want to leave a written message, send those to joe@StackyBenjamins.com. Thanks to everybody also who's left us reviews lately. I'm not going to go through every single review that we've received, because Mom is just constantly cranking out new ones and putting them on the refrigerator. But thanks to Matt Paxton, to Big Squash, to Baker George 89, Uism. Baker George 89 had a especially funny one. Can't believe anyone listens to this. LOL. 5 stars. I like that one. But these are great. I love Matt said, Joe and OG make a Monday not so bad. So I like that. Good stuff from everybody. Thanks a ton for the awesome reviews. And that helps people discover the show. So thanks to everybody who's done that. Coming up on Wednesday, man, do we got a great show on Wednesday. A new book coming out right now. We talked a lot about holidays and gifts last week. This is good stuff. Lisa Napoli, who had radio shows on KCRW out in Los Angeles. Of course, a lot of podcasts come out of KCRW. Lisa Napoli has written some phenomenal books. She's written a book called Ray and Joan, which is about Ray and Joan Kroc. And these people have had quite a relationship. So we're going to learn about the dynasty that became McDonald's, and then all the money that they made. And then Joan single-handedly just dismantled their fortune on purpose. And she's going to tell us the story of Ray and Joan Kroc, which is just absolutely fascinating. And I can't wait to talk to her about that. So that's coming up on Wednesday, OG. See all of you back here then. Go stack some Benjamins. Doug, what should we have learned today?
Here's what we hope you got out of today's episode. First, follow Jillian Tober Leslie's advice. Parties are all about time together. So if you're throwing one, focus on one or two unique ideas and then just have fun from there. Like, you know, maybe a wacky, crazy game of cribbage or something. Second, are you eligible for Medicare? Maybe you should do some shopping before just keeping everything as is, especially when it comes to your prescriptions. But the big lesson, don't offer the owners of ClassyManGifts.com a bribe for that gently used combination jogging suit and body hair trimmer. Not only will they rebuff your kindness, they'll ban you from the site. I'm going to go make my own site now called ClassierManlierGifts.com. Teach them a lesson. Special thanks to Jillian Tober Leslie for stopping by. Planning a party? Check out her site, CatchMyParty.com, for tons of ideas and inspiration. Special thanks to Philip Moeller for shining some light on Medicare today. You'll find Philip's book, Get What's Yours for Medicare, wherever books are sold. Or, if you're shopping for the holidays, use our Amazon link, stackingbenjamins.com/Amazon. Listen in on Wednesday when we're joined by author Lisa Napoli, who will share inside stories from her book, Ray and Joan, about the founding and early days of one of America's most iconic brands, McDonald's. This show is the property of SB Podcasts, LLC. The show is created by Joe Saul-Sehy, produced by Richie Rutter-Reese, and engineered by the amazing Steve Stewart. SB Podcasts may receive payment on the show from sponsors and guests in the form of books, giveaway items, discounts, or other remuneration. There's no way you would take advice from these dorks, but like Joe's mom always says, don't take advice from people you don't know. This show is for entertainment purposes only, and before making any financial moves, consult with a real financial advisor. Special thanks to Joe's mom for bringing scented candles down to the basement. Nothing says podcasting with a bunch of dudes like scented candles.
Hey, I got a question for everybody listening. Usually on the after show, we're talking funny stuff or off-topic stuff. This is off-topic, not funny. I'm about to take a 30-hour plane ride, and I've got 2.5 weeks until I leave. I've never been on planes that long.
It's not 30 hours straight.
No, it is 2 hours, then 15 hours, and then an 8-hour flight. So with, you know, and then I have a couple hours at each of the different airports, but
15 hours and then 8 hours. I guess you underappreciate exactly how far away that stuff is on the other side of the world, huh?
From each other.
Yeah. You go, oh, well, those cities are right next to one another.
Oh yeah. No, it's, nope. It's amazing. Get off one plane, then bam, I'm on another one forever. And then on the way home, actually, I think that flight's 27 hours there. And then coming home, it's 30 hours. Only because, this is kind of funny, we get all the way to Houston with only like 2 hours between planes every stop along the way. We get to Houston and I'm in Houston. It takes me 5 hours to drive here from Houston. I have a 5-hour layover in Houston before my flight to Little Rock, which is 2 hours the opposite direction. Some poor planning there. So I'm waiting in Houston and then fly 2 hours and then drive 2 hours back home. Just absolutely moronic flight there at the end. And I'm sure at the end of the long trip, I'm going to be very happy to do that. But that's not the question. My question's around video games, because watching movies on a plane, that's okay. Playing a good, like, deep video game on the plane.
An iPad game.
Yes, it is. It is amazing. And I don't know much about iPad games. So CivRev, I played Civilization Revolution, and I actually played that, rode first class the first time a couple weeks ago, OG.
How's that? I've never been.
Yeah. Right. You don't know anything about that. Sure.
Never heard of it.
So I sit down, seat next to me is empty until the very last second. Young woman sits down and then turns and smiles at me and says, sorry, you have to sit next to the baby, because she has a little 6-month-old baby who, the good news is, only cried like 45 minutes of the 4.5-hour flight. Actually, a well-minded baby. However, it's my first opportunity to sit in that seat. But I played Civilization Revolution. I stretched out. I ate real food out of real dishes with real silverware and a cloth napkin. I could have had drinks, but as you know, I'd had too many drinks the 2 days before that. So I swore that off. But everybody around me was drinking. I didn't realize that was a flipping bar up there with the amount of stuff people are drinking. The guy next to me was doing a number on the whiskey that they had. The flight was great, though. 4.5 hours felt like 5 minutes. It was a whole different experience, right? But I'm not doing that. I'm back in coach, which means that this video game is going to be more important than ever. So need to know what iPad games people are playing. If there's anything that's engrossing that I should load up on my iPad before we leave, because CivRev, I'm sure I'll be able to play that again. That'll keep me happy for a while. I also like XCOM. I have XCOM. I have a game called Papers, Please, which is pretty funny. You're somebody who's at the border of a communist country. People are showing their papers and you have to decide who gets in and who doesn't. And you get paid based on the number of people that you let in, but you also can't let bad people in or you get fired. And you don't just get fired. It's worse than that. So
you get fired.
Yeah. And at the end of every right. And at the end of every day, if you don't make enough money, you have to decide whether you turn off the heat for that day, if you go without food that day. So it's a pretty depressing game, but it still is. It's an enjoyable time. Enjoyable? I don't know. Anyway, that's everybody's mission. Write to me, joe@stackingbenjamins.com. Tell me what iPad games you're playing that can keep you entertained for 27 hours. All right. We'll see everybody back here on Wednesday.